Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Missouri has a new abortion law. It goes into effect in October. What's the likely impact on abortion's rights organizations? Joining me are Mary Kogut, President and CEO of Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis Region and Southwest Missouri. She joins us by phone. Kristen Palovic is Organizing and Policy Associate for NARAL, Pro-Choice Missouri, and she is with me in studio. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you so much.
Mary, let me begin with you. How does this new legislation change the current law?
Don, first of all, thank you for having us on, and thank you for considering this an important issue. We definitely think it's very important to our community and to our patients. We are exploring every way that it does impact our patient care. Every day we're committed to ensuring that abortion is safe and legal in our community and that the care we're providing is excellent. So we are going to be looking at everything that is in this bill and how it impacts patients and also what's constitutional and what isn't constitutional. And I'll tell you one of the very biggest concerns we've got. There were additional stipulations added to the 72-hour waiting period. Missouri already has one of the most restrictive waiting periods in the nation of 72 hours from the time a woman gets an informed consent and then has to wait for an abortion procedure. What this bill added on is that now the actual physician who provides the abortion has to also provide the 72-hour informed consent. And think about a situation where a provider might not be there every single day. Some of our providers work full-time in other areas in the community. So this may force a woman to wait literally a full week, 2 weeks, even a month to receive her procedure under the same provider who did informed consent. That's actually damaging to her health and creates increased unsafe situation for her.
Kirsten, what else do you see that changes the status quo? Mm-hmm.
I echo many of the same points that Mary brought up as well. Missouri, we're already the third most restrictive state in the nation when it comes to being able to access your reproductive health care, when it comes to being able to access an abortion. And we've talked to people who, well, when we have only one abortion clinic at this current time remaining in the city of St. Louis, we've talked to people who have had to travel from Springfield, Missouri, from Kirksville, Missouri, across the state, and having that burden that's placed on them from having to travel, have their counseling, have to go back, and then have to come back 72 hours later, have to find somewhere to stay for those 72 hours, having to take the time off work, those different issues there that we're seeing. So definitely echoing a lot of those points. Another concern that we have with this bill, too, is the protections that it affords crisis pregnancy centers or the fake unregulated clinics, the ones that provide medically inaccurate information about reproductive health care to women who are seeking services.
The proponents of this legislation stressed throughout the debate in Jefferson City that really this was to enhance the safety, if you will, of women who would seek abortions. Let's listen to Bob Bonder, a Republican of Lake St. Louis, as he talks about this part of the legislation.
Well, look, the United States Supreme Court back in June of 2016 was very clear that they wanted to protect women's access to abortion. And as such, they struck down Texas's ambulatory surgery center law by which Texas regulated their abortion clinics. But in the very same opinion, the U.S. Supreme Court was very clear that regulations to protect women's health and safety was constitutional and even praised those regulations. And those were Texas's regulations that preexisted their surgery center regulations. So, really common sense measures like inspections, like making sure that EMS personnel can abide by the standard of care that they would otherwise abide by, making sure that pathology specimens are handled in a responsible way. All of those things are about women's health and safety.
That's Republican Senator Bob Onder of Lake St. Louis talking about the abortion legislation passed recently by the Missouri legislature and signed by Governor Greitens. Mary, what do you think about those comments?
Well, I disagree with him. I will say one thing about this special session is that it was very expensive for Missouri citizens. And that's not the most important thing, but I think it is one thing that taxpayers should be aware of. We paid extra for a special session that was unnecessary. It was unnecessary because many of these restrictions already are in place. By practice, we were already getting inspected every single year, at least one time per year, through surprise inspections. And we knew that any day, any time, we could get inspected. So that was already being done. We already had complication data and complication standards, and already we're sharing those with the Department of Health. So there were a whole number of things that were debated by our legislators that were already in practice, so it was unnecessary. The other thing is, some of the things that were passed were bad for public health. So again, the 72-hour restrictions, bad for public health, bad for women, unsafe for women. The other thing with the tissue, this was an unnecessary, more expensive way to approach the management of this by the pathologist. And even the pathologists have questions about why would this be recommended by our legislators who are not medical people, who do not know what would be the appropriate standard of care in this situation. And then the last thing I would say is we missed some other important issues that would be more important for the health and safety of women. You know, in Missouri, maternal mortality rates are 43% higher than the national average. This means women are dying from complications related to pregnancy and childbirth. That's where we should be putting our money, time, and attention, not in what our legislators did.
Kirsten Palovic, how is this likely to change the operation at your place, at NARAL?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, a lot of the points that Mary already outlined as well, but again, we hear from people who are across the state trying to access care each day. And so to see more of these restrictions put into place, I think we're going to get more phone calls. I think we're going to get more stories from people who aren't able to access the care that they need, or there's more burdens placed on being able to try to get that access that they need. Absolutely, as Mary said, there are definitely other things that we should have been talking about during the special session, other issues that we should have come against, that we should have tackled. For example, going back to the part of the bill about crisis pregnancy centers and the more protections that are put into place for them. These unregulated clinics get $6.8 million in funding every single year. $4.3 million of that is federal TANF dollars, the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. When that money is going to these fake clinics, instead of tackling the constantly increasing food insecurity rates, Missouri is actually the second hungriest state in the nation through these rates. That's a public health issue that we need to be tackling right now, not infringing upon women being able to access the health care that they need.
Did NARAL lobby against this bill during the special session?
Absolutely. We were there in Jeff City each day lobbying against it, testifying against it where we could.
And Mary Kogut, how about Planned Parenthood? Is your operation going to have to be changed, assuming this bill meets legal muster and goes into effect in late October?
So we're looking at that right now. And you're absolutely right. We will look at every legal option to ensure that we can continue to expand care and provide our same excellent care every single day, not only in St. Louis, but throughout the state of Missouri. Right now, we continue to prepare to provide at least medication abortion and possibly surgical in our Southwest Missouri centers, Joplin and Springfield. And I know that our sister affiliate, Planned Parenthood of Great Plains, is also continuing to work towards expansion in Columbia, Missouri, and in Kansas City, Missouri. So we're going to continue on with what our plans are for patient care, all the while exploring what our legal options might be.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that the only place where abortions are performed in Missouri is here at St. Louis Planned Parenthood. Is that correct?
Well, there are also some abortions that are performed in a hospital setting, but Planned Parenthood is the only state-licensed abortion care provider in the entire state of Missouri, serving 1.2 million women in Missouri, 400,000 of which in any given year might have a pregnancy and need to be making a decision. Not necessarily that they would choose abortion, but they may be in a position where they would be deciding what to do.
If, in fact, you do challenge this in court, There's always the potential, I guess, the possibility that it could ultimately go to the Supreme Court, which seems to be waiting for another piece of abortion legislation to come through that they can rule on. Would you want to see the Supreme Court rule on this legislation?
I think what's been really interesting over the last year particularly, we have seen a couple court cases that continue to uphold that a woman has a constitutional right to make a decision about abortion, and also that abortion has to be accessible. The Supreme Court was so clear in 2016 that, yes, states can enact legislation that's around health and safety, but they cannot enact legislation that is strictly to reduce access to care. They can't put it under the guise of health and safety when all it is about reducing access. And this has been upheld in other court cases. So right now we're feeling confident that the courts are really understanding the truth of some of these trap restrictions. That's targeted restrictions of abortion providers. They're understanding what those are all about and that they're politically motivated and have nothing to do with health and safety.
Well, Kirsten, this is a long way from going to the U.S. Supreme Court, needless to say, but this is a much different court than we had in 2016. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It is much different. And those are definitely concerns that we've had. We actually, NARAL Pro-Choice Missouri, and on the national level, in several of our statewide affiliates, we were very strong in denouncing the nominee of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. And so, yeah, those are definitely concerns that we have when we do have a court and we do have a justice who has ruled in opposition of women's reproductive health care, who has firmly stood against it with some of his rulings that he made in previous cases as well.
Mm. Mary, I said that it's a much different court. Really, it's only much different in the fact that now there are 9 justices instead of the 8 following the death of Justice Scalia. Actually, we're back where we were when he was on the bench, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. We actually are. And, you know, one of the things, Don, I think is really interesting, we're sitting in on an interesting day here after the Senate had such a vote last night around the potential repeal of Obamacare. And I think what it showed us is that there is an opportunity for health care to be talked about in a nonpartisan or at least a bipartisan way where both conservative and more progressive legislators can actually talk about legislation in a way that makes sense for the American people. And I would hope that we can get to that point in Missouri, too, where we're starting to look at legislation from a common sense, a truly common sense, not politically motivated place. So that is better for our women and families in Missouri.
Kirsten, do you see anything with regard to the votes that have been taken this week on health care that impact any of this?
Mm-hmm. So it has been a challenging week. It definitely has been able to keep up with this, but I definitely see a lot of those similar points, especially when we talk about this bipartisan support for it. Statistics have shown that 7 in 10 Americans support legal, safe access to abortion. And that's not a majority. That is a consensus that we're talking about here. So whenever we see these politicians go and they're voting on these anti-choice issues, what we're seeing is them vote for their own political need, for their own political ambitions, political futures. We don't necessarily see them talking about the needs of their own constituents. And so that would be one thing I would challenge politicians to do is listen to your people, listen to your constituents, and talk about what's best for them in their health care and supporting their families.
Given where we are in Missouri at this moment, Kirsten, what is NARAL's strategy for moving forward?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's been a tough week. It's been a tough 7 weeks here in the special session, but we are going to keep moving forward locally, trying to pass proactive legislation that we can locally in the city of St. Louis, and then, of course, continue that on the statewide level, continue to fight against these restrictions that we see being introduced during every legislative session, but also continue to fight to get proactive legislation, such as earned family and medical leave into place in the state of Missouri.
Mary, Planned Parenthood strategy moving forward? Hello? Well, she's gone. Okay, we're gonna try to regain contact with her. While we're waiting for that to happen, Kirsten, tell us a little bit about NARAL and what NARAL, how it's structured and the kinds of services that it provides.
Of course. So NARAL Pro-Choice Missouri, we're one of the oldest statewide affiliates. We've been around for almost 50 years now, and we're an organization that's been working on defending reproductive freedom in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. And so that involves being in the state legislature, trying to pass these anti-choice bills that we see introduced. This past legislative session alone, we saw over 40 anti-choice bills that were introduced that during that time we were able to defeat a strong majority of. So that's what we continue to do statewide, but then also trying to push proactive policies, how I've mentioned, with trying to pass earned family and medical leave, working on policies that expand access to reproductive rights, that expand being able to have that access to abortion, to bills that also target these crisis pregnancy centers, these fake clinics that I've mentioned throughout the interview.
You mentioned early on that the polls would show that 70% of the public are in favor of abortion rights.
Correct.
And yet, does that figure hold in Missouri, do you know?
I'm not sure of the exact figure in Missouri, but that's one thing that we've actually been working on, too, is we go off of this model in order to reach voters and find them where they are. Yeah. We actually do a door-to-door canvassing program where we knock on doors completely untargeted, and we talk to folks about what's happening in Missouri, some of the issues that we're seeing, some of the legislation that we are seeing in Missouri, and the amount of conversations that we have with people who they might identify as pro-choice, they might support access to abortion, being remaining legal, remaining safe, and they might just not necessarily know what that means for them and how they identify. So,
well, I mentioned that because, as you've indicated, the legislature has been very, very active on these measures and does speak for a large portion of the population. Obviously, they've got the majority.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, we've been talking to people across the state within some of these different areas about how they felt about this. And we know that people have been contacting their legislators, that they've been talking to them, that they don't want to continue to see their taxpayer dollars go to waste to put more restrictions in place on them being able to access health care.
Mary Kogut is back with us, I understand. Are you there, Mary?
I am. Thank you. I'm so sorry.
That's quite all right. This happens. The technology is great, but it doesn't always work. The question that I had posed after talking to Kirsten was, what is Planned Parenthood's strategy moving forward at this particular point? Where do you go from here over the next weeks?
So we're going to do some of the same things we always do. We're committed every single day to ensuring that our patients have access to quality health care and that we continue to be there, be open, and provide care regardless of where they live, what their income levels are. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to keep on working on the priorities, expanding Medicaid, getting comprehensive sex education, lowering maternal mortality rates, and also creating safe environments for our patients. The other thing, Don, we have invited repeatedly our governor to come visit. We would love to share who we are, where we're providing care, the clients that we're providing care to, and try to work with not only our governor, but also our legislative body.
One other thing I wanted to get to as our time begins to wind down is that this legislation has also exempted city anti-discrimination laws from being in place in connection with abortions and women who are pregnant. How do you see that?
So NARAL Pro-Choice Missouri, we were one of the organizations that pushed to get that anti-discrimination law, the Reproductive Non-Discrimination Ordinance, in place. And I think there's been a lot of misconceptions that have been going around that ordinance. And the whole point behind it, our motivation behind getting those protections in place, was that so women aren't judged or discriminated against in employment or in housing based on their own personal, private reproductive health decisions. And the fact that the governor, that we have elected officials who attacked that, it doesn't mean, in my opinion, that they're ones that who want to be able to help and support women and families being able to access reproductive health care, but that instead hurts them. And it shows the political ambitions that a lot of our elected officials currently have.
In a word, does this now mean that women can be discriminated against on that basis?
I think there's still that's kind of part of the questioning and the understanding of this bill of what is that going to mean for that ordinance. So that's something that we are definitely continuing to look into as we move forward. But we know some of the other really negative implications of this bill, and the fact that that ordinance was attacked is something we're definitely concerned about.
We're going to have to leave it right there. Thanks to Kirsten Palovic of NARAL for being with us. Thanks also to Mary Kogut of Planned Parenthood. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.